See. Okay. Anyway. Okay.
Bishalach.
Right. Tavshin Pei. So, you'll notice on the top it says water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. Right? That's, from Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. Right? The idea being that the Parsha is filled with discussions of water. If you think about it, right? We've got Yam Suf, right? Right. We've got Yam Suf, and then we've got Yam Suf, and then afterwards we come to Mara, you know, where the waters are bitter, and then after Mara, so then what do you call Baruch Hashem? We come to Elima, right? In Mara the waters are bitter, in Elima the waters are sweet. And Elima, Aleph, Lamed, Yud, Mem, He. The waters are sweet, and there are 12 springs and 70 date palms growing. Then we travel through the Parsha, and we come, of course, the Parsha of Mun, but then afterwards we come to, once again, another complaint about water, right, in Rephidim. They came, and again they're complaining about water, and the Moshe has to strike the rock, right? And then they call it Masa Umariva, right?
That's
the name of the place. The place where he had to strike the rock. They call it Masa Meriva. And then afterwards we come at the end of the Parsha is Amalek. So we've got Yam Suf. We've got Yam Suf, the water there. We've got right after that Mara, where the waters are bitter. And then Moshe has to make the water sweet. And then after that we come to Elima, where the waters already are sweet, and there's the 70 date palms and the 12 springs. And then afterwards we come to Rephidim and / Masa Umariva, the place where they fought with Moshe again about water. And then the Parsha concludes with Amalek. So it's a halo davar, was a lot of water. And bechlal in water, if you look around Tanakh, water takes so many different forms in Tanakh. We've got the Mayim in Mayim HaZedonim. In the Shir HaMalos, that we were always washed away by the cruel waters, Mayim HaZedonim. We've got in Mishle, Mayim Gnuvim Yimitaku, forbidden waters, stolen waters, are sweet. Kol Tzame Lechulamayim. Anyone who's thirsty, go to water, and that Chazal says talking about Torah. So what is water, right? It's Torah. It's cruel. It's what you call forbidden waters. Water seems to have like a million different understandings. So the first thing is that the Maharal, right, when he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu, this we discussed before, he talks about where Moshe Rabbeinu's name is Moshe. Right? Ki min amayim mishisihu. Right? The daughter of Paro said, I drew him out of the water. And to point out, his name is not Moshui, that he was drawn out of water, rather Moshe. Because Moshe is the one who will draw everyone out of the water. He will be a Moshe. He will be a drawer out of the water. Because, says the Maharal, the idea of water is that water is the example of Chomer, of physicality. And because it's the symbol of physicality, so then it takes the shape of whatever you put it into. Right? Again, even water itself, obviously, has got tzura to it, has got form to it. In other words, everything in this world is made out of chomer and out of tzura. It's made out of matter, but that matter has to have form. It's like the Ramban explains in the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Everything initially was tohu vavohu, right? Tohu vavohu. And the Ramban explains that those are the beginnings of the concepts of chomer and tzura, of matter, but without any form, and then form, right? Those two concepts, the beginning. So I heard once from Rav Shapira, right, in Zechazar Kodesh L'Bracha, many, many years ago. He said, why is the Torah B'chalal telling us? Like, what's the halacha l'maisa about that for us to know that the world starts off with, yeah, the concept of form and the concept of matter, or the concept of matter and the concept of form, right? Toh and vo. Like, what's the nafka mina to us? It's not like, Hashem doesn't, it tells us only the secrets that are relevant to us. The secrets of creation. He tells us what's relevant to us, what we learn from. But what do you learn from that?
I'm not understanding what Moshe Shapiro said.
He's saying that the idea of the Torah telling us over that the Torah begins with that everything in the beginning was tohu vavohu, right? Tohu vavohu, right? Tohu, right? Is chomer, the potential for physicality, but without any form, and bohu is the potential for form. For tzura. Now, what difference does it make? And what's the halacha lamaisa for us? What importance is that for us to know? Hashem only communicates to us. He teaches us in the Torah those things, right? Some are easier to understand. Some are less easy to understand. But there has to be something that's relevant to what he called to us, that we can transform into building our connection with Hashem, because that's what he brought us down here. So what do we learn from the fact that the Torah tells us, that Hashem told us in the Torah, that the world starts with a concept of tohu and bohu, of potential matter and potential form? And he said, because that really is what all of life is about. That's what all of life is about, is creating the right form for the material of life. In other words, you're always, yeah, life is always, is like, it's like plasma. The events of life, the objects of life, like we've seen so many times, like from the Svasemis, they all have embedded in them the nekuda of Hashem's ratzon, what he wants you to bring out of it. But it depends how you shape it. What form are you going to give it? What form are you going to give it? What form are you going to give to this experience? What form are you going to give to this object? You have money, for instance. If you take the money, as it were, and spend it on frivolous things, right, and without a second thought, and it all is just a matter of power or a matter of what you call gaining for yourself pleasure, whatever it happens to be, so then the form that you gave to that stuff, right, was something that was here today and gone tomorrow. It was gone in an instant. It was a mirage. Because it's not something that becomes eternal. Whereas if you give it form, right, the form of being mekadesh it, of using it l'shem shemayim, of giving stucco, of doing chesed with it, or what do you call it, even buying things l'chod Shabbos, or even buying things for a present for somebody that'll make them happy, etc., etc., etc. You try and transform it. You try and give it a form that what do you call it that has kedusha to it, and therefore has permanence to it, has got eternity to it. So that's all of life. So now Moshe, I go back to Moshe now. Moshe's whole name is Moshe. He's drawing out of the water. Right? That's his, this is how he is taking the water. Don't allow the water to overwhelm you. Don't allow the world of physicality to drown you. Right? You give it a shape. You give it a form. He is Moshe. Draw out of the water. Don't allow the water, yeah, to what you call it, to just be its own thing. You have to give it its proper properties. So now, as we follow, right?
Moshe drew people out of the water only to be Eved Hashem.
Right, Bidyuk, right. That's his thing. So now, we look at it now. So we come to, let's say, we come to Yamsuf. So there, it's Yet Moshe es Yado al Hayam. Right, he stretches out, Riku's his hand over the sea, Vayibaku Hamayim, and the waters split. That's Yamsuf. at the end, right? And then as a result, Hamayim lehem choma miminu mismol, the waters become walls for them. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is what we call Moshe Rabbeinu because he's the master of properly forming, yeah, what the world is about. So the waters, instead of being those that destroy them, which they did to the midstream, for them they become a wall of protection. Hamayim lehem choma miminu mismolam.
Wait, who made the tunnels? Moshe or
Hashem? Well, what do you call it? Hashem instructed Moshe to what he called to put his hand out over the water. And he becomes the agent. He becomes the agent. Why? Because he is Moshe. He is the one who is what, who draws out of the water. Then we come to the end of Yam Suf. And then what happens? It says, Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael mi Yam Suf, Vayetzel al Midbar Shur, Vayechu Shloshes Yomim ba Midbar v'lo Matzu Mayim. So it says Vayasa, right? In here Tesvav, and in Pasach Kaf Beis, can't really see so well here, right? There's no light. Yeah, he had to take them forcibly away from Yam Suf. Why? Because even though they
had to take them
Moshe had to take them forcibly away from Yam Suf, they were going for the booty. In other words, because the booty of Yam Suf, like Chazal say, was greater than the booty of Mitzrayim, because the Mitzrayim came bedecked, what we call their horses were bedecked with jewels and gold and all this other stuff, etc. And
had to
take him away. What do you call it? You got to leave now. In other words, even though Lamaisa they were supposed to collect that booty. Right? That was the promise. The promise was that we're going to do, it was min shamayim that they were supposed to receive it. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? Right? What are you going to do with it? Once you become preoccupied with it, and that was what Moshe saw, they're being preoccupied with it. In other words, they're not taking it, okay, what we could potentially do with it, but they're taking it because we want to have it. So he said, we've got to get out of here. We've got to get out of here. And so he has to forcibly take them away from Yam Suf. Then the Pasuk says, it continues, it's the very same Pasuk, that after he forcibly took them away from Yam Suf, they went to Midbar Shur, they didn't find water. What's the idea of, what do you call it, they didn't find water?
I don't even get to the point here. In spite of what they saw, they became sidetracked by the buoy. Instead of what?
Instead of being focused, right, the right focus on the world, right? Uh-huh, exactly. But immediately, once they saw all the jewels, the diamonds, the what do you call it, the gold, the silver, so they just want to have more and more of it. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw that wasn't good. He said, "We got to go," but it's too late already. It's too late. Why? Because obviously they've been affected by it.
Uh-huh.
Right. Because what does it say afterwards? It says, "Vayasa Moshe Yisrael miyam suf." He forcibly caused them to leave Yam Suf. They went out to Midbar Shur. They went 3 days in the desert. They found no water. So says Rashi, when they found no water.
How many days did they travel?
3 days. Okay. Rashi says that, the Gemara says on this. Right? They went 3 days in the desert and they found no water. Dorshi Rishumos Amru Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Shenemar Hoi Kol Tamei Lechu Lamayim. Right? They found no water. They said they found no water. They found no water. And the Dorshi Rishumos say, what does that mean, they found no water?
Dorshi Rishumos.
Those who read underneath the words. It's interesting. The idea of... No, it means those who understand what's going on underneath the surface of the Pesukim.
We read about those things.
That's what the Dorshi Rishumos tell us. Right? We don't in Torah Shibal Pet. The Dorshi Rishumos is those who are able to understand what's underneath, right? Underneath the
paper?
You said that already. These are the people being quoted in the Talmud. This is a Gemara, right? There's no sefer called Dor. I mean, maybe there is a sefer called Dorshi Rishumos, but it's not that's what we're being referred to in the Talmud, right? The Dorshi Rishumos, those who understand what's being underneath the surface of the Pesukim. So they say, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, Shenemar Hoi Kol Tzamei Lechu Lamayim. They went 3 days without Torah, and they grew weak. And from there, this is the... But that's what Rosh Hashanah is saying. It doesn't just mean water. It means, what do you call it? It means Torah, right? It means both. It literally means water, but it also means without Torah. It means without Torah. Both. Nilu. Nilu means they grew weak. They grew weak.
They weren't at Sinai yet. What Torah did they have?
That's a question. What does it mean? They went 3 days without Torah. And this is the source of the takana to read the Torah Mondays and Thursdays, right? To make sure that that you don't go 3 days without Torah. Right? But what Torah could they have learned? What Torah could they have learned? They had no Torah to learn. I mean, maybe they could have learned about whatever they had in Mitzrayim. I don't know. Maybe the dinim of Mila, maybe the dinim of Pesach, perhaps. Right? Could be that. Or it could be that just the idea being that they were out Torah and others without that attitude of Torah. Torah is always instructing you, right? What do you call it? To search for what does Hashem want from me in this situation? What am I going towards? What am I leaving? What am I in the process of doing? It's meant to cause you to live consciously, right? Yeah, and that's
way advanced.
Right? Again, you could even be, let's say even a novice, a person who doesn't understand anything, but he's affected by Judaism. He comes into a shul. He's never been to a shul before in his life, right? He knows absolutely nothing. He knows nothing. He just knows he's been affected by it. And because of that, his mind is reaching out and looking for what will I do? Where will I go? How will I become connected to this? I'll be connected to this.
They weren't affected?
Kind of rare. In other words, that's the idea. Because they were preoccupied with taking the booty, what that does is it drags you down, right? You become captive to the water, to the chomer, right? You're no longer shaping the chomer. The Rambam says, in the mitzvah of in Yisodei HaTorah, Ketzer HaDerech L'Ahavaso V'Yirasso. Right? What is the derech to being Ohev and Yare Hashem? How can you do both two things together? They're two different. They emanate from two different sources in a person's soul. Ava, he wants to come close. Yare, he wants to take a step backwards, etc. They experience that Yamsuf, right? Right? They experience it of a Yiru es Hashem. Right? They stood in fear of Hashem. Why? Because, says the Beis Halevi, because they recognized that Hashem was saving them, and at the same time Hashem was saving them. He was drowning the Mitzrim. It was the Rachamim that Hashem was showing them, right? At the same time contained within it a Midas Adin to destroy the Mitzrim. And they realized that Hashem is not like he does one thing this way and one thing the other way. He is everything. His hanaga with us is so complete, is so total, is so record. On the one hand, what's a yad that saves for us is a yad that drowns the Mitzrim. And they stood in awe of Hashem. So if a person is in that state, if he's in that state, so then, like the Rambam says, you look out into creation, and you have a deep desire, you fall in love, you want to know the one who's the source of all of this. You have a desire to know the one who's the source of this. And at the same time, while you're feeling that desire, you're standing in awe of before what I'm standing, because it's unbelievable. So they should have been blown away, right after leaving Yom Suf. But because they sank into the collecting the booty, so they had no Torah. The Torah we're talking about here is not specific mitzvahs. The Torah is when you call it that yearning to be close to Hashem. That yearning to be close to Hashem. What happens? They come to Mara. Right? Vayavo Marasa. V'lo yachol shtos mayim mi Mara.
You think they went 3 days, it was a Kippur because they went to the...
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Obviously not enough. Or maybe, it could be, I don't know. It's hard to know, because it doesn't really say. Right? And that's part of it. But of course, there were still things that need to be fixed. What you're saying is interesting. Let's see. He says, Vayavo Marasa, v'lo yachlu lishtos mayim mimara. They came to Mara, and they couldn't drink the water. The water was bitter. Ki marim heim. Chazal say that initially the water was sweet, but it became bitter. Right? Why did it become bitter? Kanirab, because it was needed now to teach them a lesson. Al Ken Karashmo Mora. Vayilonu Ha'am Al Moshe. They complained on Moshe. Lemor, Manishe, what are we going to drink? Vayitzak El Hashem. Right? Moshe called out to Hashem. Vayoreyu Hashem Eitz. And Hashem instructed him, right, to find a certain tree. There's discussion in the Medrash what the tree was. But whatever it was bitter. It was a bitter tree. Right, it was a bitter tree. Vayashlech el hamayim v'yimtiku hamayim. He threw it into the waters, and then the waters became sweet. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisahu.
What was the name of the tree?
That's in this discussion. It could be what he called something called yerdufni. It could have been from what he called from the roots of a fig. It could have been from what he called from the roots of an olive tree. Whatever it was bitter, right? And there, so what did he do? He put this bitter tree, right, or plant or root, whatever it is. He put it into what do you call it? It's a tree. He put it into the water, and the waters became sweet. And then he gave them sham sam lo choku mishpat v'sham niso. And then he gave them right whatever the combination of the mitzvahs were. We keep it up aim. What do you call it? Paraduma. Whatever it is, he gave them a certain chukim sukim mishpatim. Vayomer im shama tishma. And there it says there he tested them. Sham nisahu. Vayomer im shama tishma. Recall Hashem Elokecha. If you listen to the voice of Hashem Elokecha, and you'll do that which is straight in His eyes, and you pay attention to His mitzvos, and you guard all of His what do you call his chukim. All of the illness that I put upon Mitzrayim, I will not put upon you, because I am Hashem who is your healer. Right? Who is your healer? Ani Hashem.
You do.
Hashem. It's just that I don't want to know. Hashem, what do you call it? Hashem, ani Hashem rofecha. I am Hashem, your healer, your healer. So it's a fascinating thing. One medrash here says that he put in, that was what we talked about before. He put in the bitter thing into the water, right? He put the bitter thing into the water, right? And what was the lesson there? Haketzad, no saying Dover HaMechabel, Latoch Dover HaMechabel. This is the Medrash, the Tanchuma. He puts something that is destructive, right? Another, some a bitter tree, yeah, into the bitter waters, right? Lasos lo neis. Amalek Kodesh Baruch Lamosha. Lo kach hu umnasi. Ela bamesh ani makebo ani merape. This is not my craftsmanship, right? Ela, what do you call it? Bemesh ani makebo, that which I used to strike, that is the exact same thing that I used to heal. Hilkach, hoil, that's what Hashem said to Moshe, right? Hilkach, hoil, ve'elu hamayim marim ani merapon bedover mar. Since these waters are bitter, I will heal them with what do you call it? With a bitter plant, with a bitter tree. Okay, that's one medrash.
But they were originally sweet.
Originally sweet, they became bitter, and now he heals them with something bitter, right? And then afterwards, after he does such an interesting pasuk, no, right? He says, what does he do? All in one pasuk here, they call out. But Moshe calls out to Hashem. Hashem instructs him to take this tree, let's say this yerdufni, yeah, which is bitter. Throw it into the waters. The waters become sweet. And in the very same pasuk, it says, and Hashem gave them certain mitzvos, and there he tested them. And then afterwards he tells them, he says, listen,
doesn't say what the test was,
right? Oh, doesn't say. I mean, there's a lot of discussion as to what the test is being referred to over here, right? And then he says afterwards, if you listen to my mitzvos and you do that what you're supposed to do, so all the illness of Mitzrayim will not be put upon you, right? And for I am Hashem your healer. So now, one medrash says,
all this is going to transpire through Moshe.
Right? All this is what he called Moshe. Hashem is telling Moshe to do this, and this is what Moshe is communicating to the Jewish people. So one medrash says, what was the tree that he put in? A bitter tree. Okay? Another medrash says, the Yalkut Shimoni says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, right? Dover min haTorah her eyu. He showed him something from the Torah. Shenemar vayoreu Hashem eitz. Hashem showed him an eitz. And what's that talking about? That's the eitz chayim hila machazikim ba. Right? The Torah. The Torah. So it's such a funny thing. We've got two like opposite poles, as it were. Right? Two opposite poles to what's sweetening the water. Right? Is it really called? And this here, the first shot is physically, he took a tree, a bitter tree, and used it to sweeten the water. And then, on a medrash level, homiletically, as it were, you could say, yeah, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is saying he showed him Torah, right? And Torah sweetens the water. Well, what's going on, right? What's going on? Plus, the fact, you think about it, when it says first they went 3 days without water, and Chazal Dorshin Rishumo said, well, they go 3 days without water, 3 days without Torah. What's the connection between the Torah and sweetening the water and the bitter tree sweetening the water, and they're going 3 days without water, and Dorshin Rishumo saying they went 3 days without Torah? So I think the idea is once again Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to teach them. Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moshe, is coming to instruct them how to shape the water of life, right? How to shape your experiences, how not to be drowned, yeah, by the physical circumstances that surround you. At Yam Suf, he literally split the water for them. The water which seemed impassable, he split the water for them. But then what happened? They should have been in a state of looking at the wonders of Hashem and be searching for Torah, searching for connection to Hashem, like the Rambam says, right? Look at the wondrous acts of Hashem. What more wondrous acts could you see other than Yam Suf, right? That should have been on their mind. But because they sank back into physicality again and they start collecting all the money and they got taken away by the money, he's got to teach them a new lesson. So they go 3 days, right, without water, 3 days without Torah. 3 days without the proper focus. And then what happens is life now becomes bitter. The water that really was sweet, that was essentially sweet, turned bitter. Right? Because why? Because Hashem wants to correct us. Right? In other words, that's what Hashem said. That's why he concludes the pasuk before. He says, I won't put all the illness that I put upon Mitzrayim, I won't put upon you. And Rashi says, I forgot the Rashi over there. Rashi says over there, and if I do put it on you, it's not the same thing. It's only there to heal you. In other words, the punishments are not there, what he called, as vindictive. The difficulty is only there, to help extract you from a problem that you've got. So the water became bitter, and now, what he called, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching them. He put a bitter tree inside. When a person...
Oh, bitter tree is life.
Right? When a person...
I know that.
They call...
Suffering. See that? You said it right there. In this world of
what?
Suffering.
No, Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom.
No, I didn't. He said that. I know.
Where's the usher when
the
I need
him? Doggy dog world.
Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom. When a person is stuck in, you know, in his physical world, right? He's into it. You tell him, now he's into it, he said, and tell him now, okay, now go learn Torah. Go do mitzvahs. It's hard. That's scratch paper. It's hard for him. It's bitter for him. But it's a bitterness that leads to sweetness in the end, right? Because it's hard pulling yourself out of, you know, I don't have the koach, I don't have the strength, I can't sit and learn now, I can't be bothered by this, I want to just enjoy myself, etc. It's, in the beginning, it's bitter, but at the end, it becomes sweet. So even though it appears on the surface of the Medrash, right, the two Medrashim are standing at opposite poles, right? Is he using something bitter to what he calls to sweeten the waters? Or is with the eights he's talking about, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the eights is talking about the eights of Torah, eights chayim hila machazikim ba. But it's really two sides of the same coin. When you're trying to extract yourself from what he calls, from being preoccupied with what he calls with the physicality of this world, it's not easy to start what he calls to start plunging yourself into doing the right thing, into the sweetness of Torah. It's not easy.
Going after the booty.
But once you do, it becomes sweet. And that's the lesson, what do you call it? That's the refuah that he's teaching them about. If even if I bring a makkah upon you, it's only to heal you. I only bring a makkah upon you to heal you, to heal you, to heal you. That's the only reason I bring, what do you call it, difficulties. It's only to heal you. We don't always understand why, how, or why, but the fact is that's the way what Hashem is always telling you. It's only to heal. It's only to heal. After they receive that, where do they go? They go to Elima. They go to Elima.
You're going to say a lot.
Right? No, they go to Elima. In Elima, there they see, as it were, it wasn't even like they were even traveling there because they need to travel there. The Mefarshim Meradak, they went there just to show them. This is the fruits, which will be the fruits of your labor. If you, as it were, struggle to pull yourself out of the morass of being preoccupied with the physical world on its superficial level, if you make the struggle, which initially is bitter, but then at the end you'll find the sweetness. Well, they came to a place with 12 perfect springs, one for every shavit, each shavit being different to themselves, their own spring, and the 70 palm trees were filled with dates, sweet dates, as were representative of the 70 elders of the Jewish people going to guide them. This is what you're going towards. So that was the audio visual to what they learned at Mara, and they came to Elima. Later on, right, they come to Midbar Sin. I said at the end of the parsha, it says Vayachnu Berafidim Ve'ein Mayim L'Shtosam. Again, there's no water again, and this time Chazal say, why was there no water for them, right?
Where'd they go to?
Refidim. Right. It says, V'yachanu berfidim. They're in mayim, right? There's no mayim for them to drink. The Chazal teach us, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh over here, Ein refidim elo rifyon yadayim in a Torah. Here they already had Torah to learn, right? They had Torah to learn. They learned what he called, they learned at Mara. Some the Chokel, Mishma, Vasham, Nisol, they read Paraduma, they had what he called, they had Dinim, they had what he called Kibbut Ava'im. They had Kibbut Ava'im. What do you call it? They had Kibbut Ava'im. And this was what he called, they had what to learn. Rafa Yudei Minatoro. They didn't, what do you call it? They weren't,
setback?
Right? They, what do you call it? They weren't using their time to learn Torah. You know, the Sfarno learns, they received the Mun prior to this. The Sfarno learns that the Nisayon of the Mun was, when you have free time, what are you going to do with it? That's what he called it. The Svarno says it. Right? Svarno says it. Here they are, all the Parnas is being taken care of. What are you gonna do with your time? Are you gonna surf the net? Or are you gonna learn? So Rafa Yadayim in a Torah. As a result of Rafa Yadayim in a Torah, what happens? Vayovo Amalek. Right? Chazal say, right? Vayovo Amalek.
Wait, I think you're skipping.
No, why?
Because they have refidim, Moshe hit the rock.
Right, so that's true. He gave them water again. But then afterwards, right after that, comes Amalek. Immediately afterwards comes Amalek. Why? Because Rafu Yadayim in a Torah, then Amalek comes. Vayavu Amalek. So says Rashi, Samach Parsha Zula Mikra Zeh Lomar Tamid Ani Beinechem Umezumen L'chol Tzarchechem. I'm there for you all the time, right? And instead, what do the Jewish people say? Is God in our midst? Or God in our midst? What do you call it? It's because of course He's in your midst. If you're not having the water, it's because roughly your name in a Torah, because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. But instead, they're looking for other reasons. Is God with us? Is God not with us? So comes Amalek. And then Amalek attacks. And then
what's the point of Amalek, that they weren't doing the right thing?
So it's a punishment, but it's an interesting punishment. Says what he called. Says the pasuk says at the end, it's regarding Amalek. Hashem says, "Vayomer ki yad al keiska milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor." Right. That, so we've talked about this in Tziv many times already. And Tziv says, what does it mean? Ki yad al keiska. Rashi explains ki yad al keiska. It's talking about the yad of Hashem, and he's swearing by his kisei hakavod, right, that he's going to destroy Amalek. But Rashi brings the psikta, brings the medrash, it says, Vayomer, ki yad al keis ka milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. The yad over here, the hand, is referring to the hand of Amalek. Amalek's hand. Yeah. And it's yad al keis ka, and it covers the shem yud ke.
Where's this pasuk?
Right, at the very end of the parsha.
Okay.
Right? Ki yad al keis ka, the hand of Amalek covers the shem yud ke. And because of that, there will be Michalma Hashem Bamalek door door. Says the Medrash, what's it comparable to? A king who wants to address his people, right? And one creep comes along, right? One Ben Belial. One creep comes along and he sticks his hand up in front of the melech, or he sticks a screen up in front of the melech. So the melech, what he called, you can't see the melech's face. He says, you don't see him, he can't see you. He can't see you. So the yod, al kei ska, the yod of a melech covers the shem yud kei. Says the Netziv that a melech, right, a melech wants to, what do you call, wants to say in the shem havaya, yud kei vav kei. So says the Netziv, the osios, yud and hey, this is from the Gemara Menachos, are the source of creation of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. Yud and Hey. Yud is the source of Olam Haba, right? Small, as what Gemara explains over there, because the tzaddikim there are few compared to all the people who walk the face of the earth, and they're humble. Just like the Yud is the smallest letter and its head is bent.
Yud right? is the source of Olam Haba?
Yud, the Yud. And Hey is the source of Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh, in other words, is bounded on most sides. But there's an opening at the bottom. If you want to see that you're bounded by Hashem's will, then vakasha, right? Then you'll live life the way you should be living life. If, however, you see the opening at the bottom, you think it's party time, right? And so you just drop out the bottom. So that's the nature of Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh has the potential either to realize that there's something to be done here of eternal nature, or it's party time. And Olam Haba is, like we said, the tzaddikim are few in number compared to all the people who have walked the face of the earth, and they're humble, they're like the Yud. So, Amalek is willing to say, if you believe that's what their thing is emanated from, that's fine. But the Vav and the Hey, which the Netziv says, is God's Hashgacha in this world. He is not interested in you. He's not involved with your life. The Vav is the symbol, says the Netziv, of Hashem's dealing with us on a miraculous level. He calls that Tiferes, right? And the final Hey is the way when Hashem deals with us within the world of Teva, the way He guides our lives within the world of Teva. They try to block that Vav and the Hey, and that's what that's what Hamalek is trying to convince. You want to believe there's a creator of this world? Who cares? Fine, more power to you. Religion is the opiate of the people. You want to believe that there's a world to come?
John Lewis said that.
Whatever, he wasn't the first one. Lenin said it. Right? Or Marx, one or the other.
He was there. Marx.
Marx, yeah. Right? So what do you call it? So
Marx's buddy.
Right? So the Hay is what do you call it? He's not involved in our lives within the world of Teva. And that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to convince us of. Right? Convince us of. So we note how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at work. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is training us. When we came out of Yam Suf, we should have been focused. Ketzad Derech La'avos of Yos after seeing Yam Suf. We weren't. We came tomorrow, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu shows us, the only way out of this is going back to the Torah. It might be hard for you after you fall and pray, to immersing yourself in a physical outlook, in a here today, gone tomorrow, outlook of this world. It might be hard for you. It might be a little bit bitter, but that in the end will be healing for you. It'll heal the waters. They receive over there certain mitzvos. They go with those and again, to show them where it's all leading to. They come to Elima. He gives them like a sneak preview. Look what you're coming to. You're coming to a place where the waters are sweet, and the waters are designed for each shevet according to who they are. 12 beautiful springs, 70 date palms, sweet like for the Chachma Yisrael, right? That's what he called. That's what he brought to. But again, they fall down again. They had Torah mitzvah to do, and what do? Rafi Adim and HaTorah. This time, Hashem brings them a Molech. A malek, what do you call it, becomes to what do you call it, if you're not going to live on the plane of your existence, the plane of Torah, which is what something you were meant to learn when they left Mitzrayim, you're not the same as everybody else. You look like the same, but it's not just the difference. You eat kosher style pickles, you like gefilte fish, etc. Like that, and your nose is shaped differently. That's not it. You're living on a different plane. You're not going to live on a different plane. Someone's going to come and try to show you that there is no plane. That Hashem is not involved at all. Right? Nothing. Zero. Ephes. Plum. There's no vav hey. And then you have to fight against him. You have to fight against him in order to extract yourself from that. So this is all part of Ani Hashem Rofecha. Right? Some experiences are more difficult. Some experiences are more long-lasting. Sometimes the battles are harder. Sometimes the battles are easier. But that's what he called. But that's the tafkid of the, what he called of the Jewish people. And that was what they were meant to learn. Water indeed really has many different shapes. It depends what name and what shape you give it. We're the students of Moshe Rabbeinu. We should draw ourselves out of the waters that want to drown us. Right? We shouldn't fall prey to the waters of Mayim Zidonim, the waters that are trying to crush us, or the cruel waters. That's what it says in what he called in Tehillim, right? What he called the waters of the nations of the world want to crush us. Those Mayim Zidonim, the waters of Chomer, like the Maharal talks about, the waters of Mayim Gnuvim Taku, stolen waters are always sweeter. We should always, yeah, be shaping our waters that should be the waters of Torah, right? The waters of Torah. Hoy kol tzameh l'chul amayim. Anybody who's thirsty should go to the waters of Torah.